You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hi, this is Jason Hardy. You're listening to Rebel Radio. Come follow us at Music Connect or MusicConnect.com. Fuck you, Josh.
What's up? This is Rebel Radio.
What up? What up? This is DJ Newmark.
This is Peanut Butter Wolf.
It's your boy. It's okay.
Keep checking out Rebel Radio.
Rebel Radio.
This is Rebel Radio.
We're in the place right here. Rebel Radio is going down.
Would you say Rebel Radio?
Oh, wait. Let's do it again.
Rebel Radio.
What's up, Rebels? Welcome back to Rebel Radio, the weekly show where I bring you the rebels who are shaping our culture. I'm your host, Josh Levine. This week, I'm sitting with Jason Hardy. Jason is a music and technology entrepreneur. He's the founder of Muzik Headphones. That's M-U-Z-I-K. He was previously a partner with 50 Cent in the SAS headphone brand and has since launched his own company where he's not only the CEO and founder, but he designed and built at least the prototypes of these headphones with his own hands, pretty much. He's also raised close to, I think, $80 million from some pretty big investors, including Drake, Kevin Hart, Cardi B, Francois Pinault from the Caring Group. And so he's the perfect guy to talk to about selling a vision, how he's doing that at the highest level with all these world famous celebrities and getting them interested in what he's doing. He's also a hands-on CEO. As I said, he's designed a lot of the products himself. He holds over 130 patents. And so we have, I think, a great discussion. He's got some good insights into being really hands-on and learning to maybe be less hands-on and lead a team and bring the right people around you and trust them and all that stuff. So it's a fun conversation. I hope you enjoy it. Let's get into it with Jason Hardy. Okay.
Everything's good on this end. Yeah, how about you?
Good, man. Your headphones are looking good.
Oh, thanks, man. Thank you. It's been a long time coming.
I bet. Yeah. Well, let's dig into it, man. I'm like I said, I'm excited to dig into your story. I'm going to start at the very beginning. Do you remember the first record you ever bought for yourself?
Run DMC.
Nice. How'd that happen? How'd you come across that one?
It was funny. I was a little boy and we bumped into them at the airport. And my dad was a big fan of them. Yeah. So we bumped into them and they were waiting at baggage claim. It was crazy. And you know, I didn't know who they were.
Sure.
And then I met them and then that was the first record that I went out and bought.
That's incredible.
So, you know, the old big gold chains and all, it was crazy. You know, I remember looking up at them, like, this is at the very beginning.
Yeah.
You know, so it was a long time ago.
Sure. That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, we talk about Run DMC a lot on this show, right? Like they, you know, they had such a massive impact on culture, you know, not just, you know, bringing rap to the mainstream in a lot of ways, but also, you know, they played a big role in sneaker culture, in a lot of this, all of it.
I mean, sure. It was, I mean, I was so young. I mean, like I'm talking like early, you know, I was a little boy when, yeah. You know, then obviously they had a long career and then obviously everything happened, but yeah. You know, it was, I think they're probably one of the tastemakers for sure.
No question.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
At least they were for me. Yeah. 2 years ago, a friend of mine
asked me to say some MC rhymes, so I said this rhyme I'm about to say. So how did you always know growing up that you wanted to be an entrepreneur?
You know, yeah, I didn't know that word.
Sure, of course.
But
yeah,
when I was, you know, I think 10, 12, I was putting numbers on the curbs in front of people's houses.
Yeah.
You know, because you could get 10 bucks a piece and you could do 20 of them a day.
Totally.
You know, and literally stenciling that, you know, I've always kind of, you know, thought about how to streamline things. And so, you know, I was diagnosed with Glauder's disease, right? Did I say that right? I don't know. But anyways, it's a knee problem. You know, I grew too much too quick. And, you know, so then I invented something to help me with physical therapy, but I didn't know I invented it.
Right.
You know, my family looked at me and were like, what did you just do? And I made this like harness and this thing so I could, you know, get my knees up to a certain height. And what wound up happening, you know, is, you know, we started the patent process, but we didn't continue it because I was 13, I think, at the time. And it wasn't something, you know, that was just right at the right time.
Sure.
And then I went to school. And while I was in school, I was constantly helping people in different, like, different classes, you know, kind of create new things. Mm-hmm. Again, it was always from a problem solving perspective and design perspective. I graduated with a finance and marketing degree. So I'm kind of like half right brain and half left brain put together. So it's like I'm the inventor, but I'm also the guy that knows how to put the pieces together to make the business. So that's when I figured out when I got out of college and I started, you know, inventing things. It became, you know, trial and error. I made, you know, several mistakes, but, you know, I've been an entrepreneur my whole life.
Sure.
You know, I've constantly been inventing new things. This was the first time that I ever raised money and got investors. You know, I shouldn't say that. There was one other time that I had a partner, but, you know, other than that, and I think that, you know, being an entrepreneur to some degree, I think it's overrated. You know, I think that a lot of people aren't ready for it.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, or they're at least not taught to expect failure first. You know what I mean? And that's the problem, is that I think that everybody just looks out from the outside and thinks, oh, wow, they're running their own business. That's great. You know, I'm an entrepreneur.
Right.
But what they don't really realize is it's one of the most like lonely things, you know, it's one of the most challenging things. And sometimes being too early can actually, you know, work against you, you know, and it can make things more challenging. And I think that would be my only thing that I would say, is that I didn't know I was an entrepreneur until I was, you know, and that was only until someone else called me that.
That's cool.
You know what I mean? Because I was always, you know, literally either just working from a business perspective or working from a design perspective. And then it just came together naturally, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. What's something you designed early on that you thought was going to take off that didn't?
That didn't. So my dog got kidnapped.
Oh.
Okay.
Wow.
It was my yellow lab. Her name was Brandy. I actually have a bee tattooed right there for her. And she got kidnapped. The door, you know, I was living in the beach and the door got blown open and dog walked outside and the woman came, scooped her up, took her.
Wow.
And so I was like, I was in the next room, you know, I was sleeping. And so I said to myself, I got to make a system that stops dogs from running away. And if they do run away, we'll let you know. So I created the first pet containment system, you know, years ago when I was 26.
Yeah.
And what I didn't know then that I know now, you know, would have changed a lot of things. And so I was too early, you know, the company that after I decided to get out of the industry and move into another project, you know, sold for a couple hundred million dollars the next year.
Right.
So, you know, I've had my fair share of, you know, ups and downs, and I think timing is important, you know, a lot of the time. And I think preparation and like really solving a problem. And those were just pieces that you just get gained with experience. You know what I mean? It wasn't something that I was born with. It was something that I guess, you know, I learned from my family and then learned through school and then learned from, you know, some of these, what I would say, lost opportunities.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I didn't know I created like an early wireless LAN, you know, that was back in the DSL days. You know, I mean, 10 years later, Philips comes out with a light, 10 years, you know, all these different wireless connected devices. I just made it so it connected to my dog's collar. So basically, if she ran away, it would send a note to me, a message to my vet, my neighbors, and it didn't go anywhere because I was too early. PetSmart looked at me like I was nuts.
I gotta tell you, I'm sleeping better than I have in years. I got a new bed at the beginning of this year from Helix Sleep, and it's made a huge difference. So I'm excited to have them as a sponsor of our show. And to share it with you. I know for me, if I don't sleep, life is not right. And having the right mattress makes a big difference. So check out Helix. Helix Sleep has a quiz that takes just a couple minutes to complete. You do it online and it matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. I like to sleep on my side. I like a mattress that's not too firm, not too soft. And it turns out my wife likes the same things. So we got us a new Helix Sleep mattress, and we love it. It's working out really nicely. So if you're looking for a mattress, do yourself a favor. Go take the quiz online, order the mattress that you're matched to. It comes right to your door, shipped for free. You don't have to go to a mattress store or none of that nonsense. Go to helixsleep.com/rebelradio. Take their 2-minute sleep quiz, and they'll match you to a custom mattress that may just give you the best sleep of your life. They have a 10-year warranty, and you try it out for 100 nights risk-free, so they'll come pick it up for you if you don't want it, but I'm pretty sure you will. Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders, plus 2 free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/rebelradio. That's helixsleep.com/rebelradio. It's interesting that... I think, first of all, you're illustrating kind of the difference between a good product and a good business, right? And a good business has so much to do with timing. And I think, most people you probably come across are late in their thinking, right? And they, that like Steve Jobs, like people don't know what we want until we show it to them, right? And you probably suffer from the opposite of being too early on stuff. And sometimes I think, because if you think of a solution to a problem, it's easy to assume that people are going to want that solution. Right.
With enough testing. Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Right. And I think we've seen in the history of, the recent tech industry, right. It's not necessarily about whether the product is good enough. It's about whether the environment is ready for that type of solution, right?
Which was something that, to be honest, I wasn't completely prepared for. Mm. Meaning I didn't know I was so early. Mm-hmm. You think about starting the company in 2012, and I remember I had just parted ways with a good friend of mine, 50 Cent. I was partners with him at SMS Audio.
Right.
And everybody thought I was crazy when I said I wanted to create smart headphones that would integrate with your apps, with other devices. And, I had a friend her brother was deaf. And I was constantly trying to think, how can I help him get voice control? Hmm. Because it's a challenge, for this disabled. And I was racking my brain, and then I said, I got to put a camera on the headphone so that way he can sign and it could control either touch. That's when I started music in 2012. And I said that I was going to build the smartphone to headphones. Mm-hmm. Apple for sure was my inspiration,
right?
Seeing how, I went from pressing the number 2-3 times to get a C for a message, to now I've got, this. I was like, oh my gosh, I got to do that in the headphone space.
Yeah.
I never thought it would take, I've been doing this now almost 9 years, to get this. And a lot of ups and downs, but you know what? We never give up. Yeah. And it was just, I'm almost taken back that I'm actually talking to you on them. You know what I mean?
And it's cool.
It's here. You know what I mean? It's like, it's crazy because literally these were, the first two, and those were big hurdles to connect to the audio parts and then adding the AI and the apps and the SDK to then make this headphone perform a lot like this. Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't come from money. Everything has been, you know, earned.
Sure.
And, you know, I have some amazing investors that believed in me early on that maybe, you know, took a big chance, but, you know, I'm proud of our team. You know, we somehow pulled it off.
Nice.
And,
nice.
I can't believe it.
You mentioned, you know, you talked about failure, which is obviously a big part of, you know, everything that we're trying to do. Right. If I understand, you played college tennis?
For a little bit.
Okay. Well, even so, getting to that point, right? Like
I did.
Well, you know, look, I always believe...
I played tennis my whole life. And then I decided, you know, when I got, I played a little bit at NC State, mm-hmm. but then I decided to quit because I wanted to focus more on business. And,
sure.
And,
you know, I always think of sports as, you know, in some ways a great training ground for business. And in my mind, you're just faced with constant failure as an athlete coming up, right? Mm-hmm. So, I wonder how you think that training prepared you for your career path.
Massively. I would say honestly, because, you know, we were always focused on the rankings. You know, I played number one in high school every year.
Mm-hmm.
It was a situation where it was constant challenges, you know, trying to challenge the next guy to get his spot, to, you know, go into this tournament instead of that tournament, you know, going around the country and playing. So, I mean, I think that losing, I don't like to lose.
Sure.
I know that. And I've always, you know, tried my hardest to win. And, you know, when I've lost, I always know that I gave it my best, you know, it's just how I'm programmed.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just, I think that I kind of think it goes back to your thing on timing too, because I think that, you know, when you think about it, it's like when I was, you know, top in the country or top in the South and I'm in, you know, under 18, you know, you have different motivations and different dreams than you do.
Sure.
I think, you know, a couple of years later, you know, I try to mentor and advise, you know, entrepreneurs as well, you know, when I can, you know, just with the reality of what I've gone through, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? So it started obviously with sports and then that tough decision that I'm not going to continue playing sports and realizing that I wasn't a pro, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I mean, look, I mean, let's face it. We only really think about the top 10 or 20 in
sure.
any, you know, space, yeah. right? And at least in sports. And I wasn't that. And, you know, so I think
right.
that timing had a big thing to do with that as well as the failure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I learned a lot from it.
Yeah. So you mentioned getting into business with 50. Talk about that a little bit. I actually worked with him on Street King Energy when he was first launching that. That was probably mm-hmm. roughly around the same time.
That was 2011.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
What do you think? So at that time you were, you know, unproven in the sense of, you know, you didn't have experience in the headphone business, certainly. What do you think he saw in you that made him, you know, that made that partnership work?
I did what his previous team couldn't. So basically 50 had a partner. His partner called me and who had been interested in purchasing one of my previous companies, the pet product that I was talking about
mm-hmm.
Earlier, and it was the wireless device. And basically he said, we really need your help. And I was, you know, I was a little intimidated at first, you know, to be honest. And then I decided to take the challenge.
Yeah.
And, you know, I basically did the work, worked with 50, you know, learned a tremendous amount from him. You know, I owe a huge debt of gratitude and thanks, you know, to everything that I was able to see, learn, listen, and, you know, mm-hmm. participate in. And, it was pretty crazy. I think saw results, execution,
mm-hmm.
you know, he saw a will that I wouldn't give up. What, you know, what a team of 20 people didn't do, I was able to take care of. And, you know, that doesn't happen, you
sure.
know, that often. You know, if so, I'd like to hire every one of them, you know. And so it was a situation where I was at the right place at the right time, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
And the timing was is that he needed someone to help him with design and technology. And I work closely with the great engineers. I'm not an electrical engineer, mm-hmm. but I work with great engineers. Mm-hmm. And so I went to Paris and found the best electrical engineers there. And I started working with them because I felt that that this particular group could do something that hadn't been done in the space before. And so I think it was about the execution that really that's, you know, sold him on it. And very appreciative for that opportunity.
So you say you started off intimidated. Can you walk me through that conversation you had with yourself when you were thinking that through?
Sure. I was in Raleigh here, and they called me and they asked me to, you know, to come up to New York because they wanted me to, you know, to talk about doing a project. And I just, you know, I never, I was an athlete. I never, interacted with any celebrities or any mm-hmm. music artists. And just, that wasn't my world. You know, I was, you know, from Raleigh. Originally born in Los Angeles, but I went to NC State, played yeah. tennis, you know, for a little bit. Then, you know, I became a businessman, an inventor, if you will. And so then they were like, okay, you know, you're going to sit with 50, you guys are going to talk about concepts, designs, this and this. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I listen to this guy's music every day, you know? And sure. I was like, this guy is like, you know, one of the greatest in the world. And so it was just the initial shock factor of going to meet like one of your, you know, iconic artists that you love, mm-hmm. you know, in person and then maybe having a potential to work together. And I think that it was just that, but you know, 50 made it super comfortable. And, you know, after we started, I mean, you know him. So after we started, you know, working together, it was pretty much automatic.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Shady. So now I mean, fast forward a little bit. So now you work with a ton of celebrities, right? You have, if I understand, you have Drake, you have Michael Jordan, Kevin Hart, Cardi B as investors in your company, right? Mm-hmm. What do you do to prepare for those conversations, right? What are people at that level of the game looking for?
They're looking to change the world. And, you know, our select group of investors who I am so appreciative of, I mean, I couldn't be here, honestly, without them. Mm-hmm. And it's because of their support and belief that we could do this. They are people that want to try to leave an impact on this world, a positive one. You know, they're more than a basketball player or more than an artist or more than a comedian, you know,
what, sure.
you know, like my biggest, you know, mentors from afar, if you will, like, you know, like Tony Robbins, Dr. Joe Dispenza, like these are people that I've always been huge fans of. And I was always like, you know, listening to their work or listening to their music or watching their act, you know, or watching them play. And so when I had the idea to create this connected ecosystem of, you know, of devices and experiences and put them together, I initially self-funded the company and then I took the proceeds from my previous business. And then from there, I started talking to investors. And what was so crazy is that the only people that really understood what I was talking about connecting culture and technology mm-hmm. were the top artists, athletes, and these iconic pacemakers in the world. And so it wasn't ever, you know, the whole star, you know, shock factor that I had, you know, 10 years ago, you know, that's been long gone.
Right.
You know, these are entrepreneurs that I'm talking to. These are business guys. These are investors, mm-hmm. you know, these are people that want to, you know, leave a legacy. And that is just when each one I'd say it's the same, but different, you mm-hmm. know, because most of the time, you know, I'm sitting down with them. I'm not really thinking about me. I'm thinking about how we can like 1 + 1 = 11.
Right.
And so I don't know. Yeah, that would be my answer. You know, really, it's said that each one is a little bit unique and different. And I always try to find out, like, what are the goals of the relationship? Like, what are you trying to specifically do? Mm-hmm. And I mean, listen, I mean, you know, being a startup to creating, going from this to this is quite a big leap, and it was sure. I couldn't have done it without them. Yeah. You know, so these people, you know, they worked with me in the lab. They said, hey, we got to tune it this way, or you got to name it this. Mm-hmm. I mean, I went on tour with some, you know, I went to their shows, they demoed them, they were in the studio in the lab, they were tuning them. I mean, literally, this has been a labor of love, if you will, sure. You know, of the top, you know, of really the top people in tech and culture coming together, which has always been this kind of weird divide, if you think about it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. you always have the tech people and then you have the culture people, but there isn't that common ground that can like bring them together to make a product that culture wants, if you will. This is a product, in my opinion, that's a lot like this, you know, from the perspective sure. of you can personalize your experiences. So the way you use it might be different than me, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, you'll use some apps. Maybe you just take pictures and video. Maybe you're streaming to, you know, to Twitch or TikTok or Twitter, you know. So to me, I think that it's going to be very interesting to see where the entire space goes. And I think that a lot of that will be dictated by both the people that you're talking about and how they use it, how they want to like share their POV mm-hmm. with the world. You know, mm-hmm. when they're walking out, like Melo's walking down the basketball court, now his fans can see through his eyes.
Right.
You know, or when you got, yeah. you know, Travis Barker, one of these guys, you know, Questlove drumming. I mean, like it's going to give people something that they have been wanting, which is like to walk in the shoes of their favorite, you know, icons, like mm-hmm. I was with Run DMC back in the mm-hmm. day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So going back to, you say you launched in 2012, you know, at that time Beats was really controlling the game as far as I can tell from, you know, from the outside. And it's interesting. You talk about headphones, right? I think headphones are kind of the intersection of technology and culture, right, and fashion, in part due to Beats, right? If those of us who remember before Beats, like headphones were a utility, it was strictly, you know, a piece of equipment, right? And you know, Beats had a big role in turning that into fashion and culture and kind of setting the bar, right?
They created it.
Right. So,
absolutely.
So talk about that, you know, when you're setting up the company at that time, and you've got this sort of massive competitor, and you know, what's the approach? How do you think about a strategy to go and compete with them or to build your own thing in that environment?
Well, to start, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for what Beats, Jimmy, Dre did.
Sure.
You know, they created, as you said, they created the space, you know, where tech and culture came together. I just looked at it a little bit differently, and I thought that the headphone could be something that had a little more technology inside of it, so I wouldn't have to look down as much at my phone,
right.
and I could just keep my head up. I mean, yeah. it was pretty simple, you know. I mean, in my mind, at least, it was simple from the perspective of the problem I'm solving. You know, I almost got hit by a taxi in New York is mm-hmm. what happened. You mm-hmm. know, because I was walking, texting like everybody does, and all of a sudden I was like, wait a minute. You know, why am I doing this? You know, and why can't these apps be up in here? You know, up in the headphone. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, so it was intimidating a little bit when I started, because initially I heard a bunch of no's because everybody said what you said. They said, oh, Beats has the whole market. And I was like, sure. I know that. And I said, but we're not building headphones. I said, we're building a new category called smartware. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, what's that? And I said, well, you know, you have, you know, your smartphone, right? And I said, well, now you're going to have smart headphones. And I said, and they're going to integrate and work together. And now you're going to have these new experiences. And people, they doubted me for a while, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure that they still do. But, you know, or maybe some don't. Who knows? But, you know, it was one of those things that I never really looked at Beats as a competition, because mm-hmm. I always looked at them as the clear, they're the big company. They're selling billions of dollars of headphones. What I was really doing is I built this to get to this, right. this to get to that. And really it's a lot like, you know, this guy, you know, to this, mm-hmm. and this was amazing, massively successful, mm-hmm. you know, and I just, you know, Steve Jobs and Apple was always one of my, you know, inspirations to everything, you know, sure. from design and just the way that things, this are just really beautiful, elegantly done. And, I thought of Beats as a culture company, mm-hmm. and I thought of really taking like the DNA of Apple and embedding it in Beats, and that's really what, you know, came together, if you will.
Mm-hmm. So we're you're 9 years in.
Well, eight and a half, but okay. You know, I rounded up.
Sure, fair enough. What's my question? Talk to me about sustaining the energy. Cause you know, like starting things is hard, but it's also exciting. Like you see the progress every day that you make. And I think, you know, I've been through it myself, you know, 8-9 years in, the progress is sometimes a lot more subtle, or it's a lot more fewer and farther between, even though it might be bigger. So how do you sustain it?
Well, innovation. I can tell you that it wasn't easy, but it was showing true progress. Mm-hmm. It was literally showing, you know, the stair step to, you know, up there is, the, you know, is where we got to get. Mm-hmm. We got to get to, but you have to start down here. And so we would constantly show, you know, we won 5 innovation awards at CES. So every year we won.
Yeah.
We were receiving patents, you know, pretty regularly. I think we have 137 right now.
Crazy.
And I know but when you start, you know, in 2012 and there's no one doing it, it's like a different situation, you know? Sure. And so it was sustaining. It was a challenge, but it was constant updates. It was working closely with my partners, and it was getting great people around us and around me. You know, I certainly don't think that I'm, you know, perfect by any means, but I try to surround myself with the smartest people that I possibly can. And I think that that's one of the things that we were able to do to sustain it, was getting the right mix of tech and culture, mm-hmm. partners, investors, and advisors to come together, because they all understand this is something that's inevitable, you know, but normally this would be an undertaking done by, you know, a multi-billion dollar entity, right. You know, not necessarily by a startup, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. making hardware is hard. You know, hardware, software, SDK, sure. applications, you know, firmware. I mean, that's a giant challenge. And then doing that on a budget,
right,
is another challenge, you know.
Sure.
So it was we did 5 rounds of funding. And mm-hmm. like I said, well, actually we did 3 convertible notes, and then we did 2 price rounds. We did Series A, Series B. Mm-hmm. And my Series B was led by Francois Henri Pino, and from Caring, he owns Caring Group, Group A Artemis. Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't for, you know, their vision of seeing our vision, then this wouldn't be here either. You know what I mean? And so
tell me about that a little bit. What obviously, so, you know, for anyone who doesn't know, they own Gucci, Saint Laurent, some of the best brands in the world, Balenciaga, I think, right? What do you learn from him and from them?
A lot of things. You know, they sit on the board with me, and so they're constantly helping. Mm-hmm. You know, where they're always available. Whether it's advice operationally, whether it's advice financially, It's been a constant learning lesson, I would say, mm-hmm. you know, because the man I am today and the product we have today is not the same. It's the same man, but it's, you know, a lot of things have gone into making this product, you know, and there's been a lot of, you know, I remember when they changed the Bluetooth protocol and Qualcomm bought CSR. And I remember then when I had to change the entire computer system inside, because all of a sudden now, you know, there's all these new components and new AIs that, you know, that are out there, and they have to connect this way. And so I learned that communication is really important, you know, because when you communicate with your partners and you let them understand, you know, what you're doing, I think that you can get a lot of support. And, you know, that's why we've built the team that we have, honestly, is because, you know, they're visionaries, and we've been really you know, good at proving our vision. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. you know, from showing baby steps to bigger steps to bigger steps. And sure, I would have liked it to have been, you know, sooner. But the one thing is when I look back on it, if it had been 4 years ago, well, that was before TikTok, you know, right. that was before Triller. That was before, you know, that was when Snap, you know, despite us got their offer, you know, it was mm-hmm. like things were so different. And then so now to have the product now coming out of the pandemic, where now people are going to be able to share, you know, their experiences, what they see to any platform, seems like the right timing. So I don't know if that was a higher power that had me, you know, or what, you know, but it's, I find it sometimes fascinating when I start thinking about, you know, the massive, like, you know, pits and valleys, you know, ups and downs that we've had to get here. But, you know, but then when I talk to other, you know, designers or engineers at other companies, they're like, we go through the same thing. You know, we just do it faster and more of them, you know? And so I think R&D is always, you know, is a challenge. And I think that, you know, I look forward to the day when I can work with a bigger team to get, you know, more things, you know, done in a more condensed amount of time.
Yeah.
But I'm really proud of what our team has been able to achieve, because it really is, I don't want to call it a miracle, but it's unbelievable that, you know, that we were able to do this and be the first, you know, of its kind.
Yeah. So you've talked about a lot of like growth along the way, right? From being intimidated by a big celebrity to now that's part of daily life, from, you know, building stuff too early to now having a team around you that can check you on that, right? You know, I think, you know, the guy who can single-handedly do the work of a team of 20 is not always the guy who's a great captain of a ship that can let other people do their thing, right? So where are you at now? What do you struggle with, or what are you kind of learning and growing now as a leader, as a CEO?
Well, I'm doing, I'd say, less operations and less micromanaging, although my team probably would disagree. you know, at least I'm trying to.
Sure.
And I've seen this space for so long, so clearly. It's, you know, it's like when you see something from far away, and then as you start walking towards it, you start seeing it clearer and more clear and then clearer. That's kind of what's happened here. And so what I've tried to do is try to focus on doing the things that I've learned that I'm good at, and not do the things that I'm not good at. Mm-hmm. And then I'm really happy to collaborate. And so, like, for me, it's always been like from I to we, because I know I'm not good at most things. I mean, call it 80% of things, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. but the things that I'm good at, you know, I put a lot of time, effort, and I feel that, you know, I was able to build a great team. So I think that, you know, one of the things that I did is I put everything on my back at the beginning, because I had to financially.
Sure.
And I mean, that was from carving the product out of clay to then drawing it to then getting industrial engineer to, you know, put in the SolidWorks to then making 3D printed parts. You know, actually, I take that back. We were casting parts back in the day, because it was so long ago, before 3D printers.
Right.
It was we had a company called Forecast that was doing it. And I remember, you know, just one part like this would be $5,000. OK, now you can print that for $5.
Crazy.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it goes back to that timing thing, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. where the things that we were trying to is like, we almost bit off more than we could chew, you know, but we didn't. Mm-hmm. And so now that's what I'm focused on, is not doing that. Meaning mm-hmm. like the things that I do, I know I can do, we get it done. That's why we're on the phone talking, you know, and then I let all the other experts do what they do.
Yeah.
And then I have an amazing co-captain, Sarah Herring is my COO. And so she essentially runs operations of the company. I couldn't do it without her. Actually, she worked to like a week before her pregnancy. Mm. It was unbelievable. And then, or no, she worked to the day before pregnancy. And then after that, only like a week and a half later, went back, you know, and she was still working the whole time. I mean, I couldn't do it without mm-hmm. her, you know? So I think I would just say that, you know, backing off on the things that I'm not an expert in was something that I learned over time.
Yeah. That's great. And that's hard, right? And it's hard when you've done it yourself and you have learned to rely on yourself.
It's so hard. It's so hard, especially it's so hard, you know, and you know, when you put everything into it, when you put your name on the line, you know, you get all of these investors, you know, you've, you've put so many hours, blood, sweat, and tears, everything, you know, that you have into it. You know what I mean? And then you have to believe that the people that you choose and trust, you know, have that same feeling.
Yeah.
And will do anything, you know, to get this thing done.
Yeah.
If you're enjoying this one, let's stick with the theme of music, technology entrepreneurs. A few years ago, I had AJ Burtonshaw, the founder of Serato. If you don't know, Serato is the standard for DJ software. It's the reason why thousands of DJs, millions of DJs are traveling around the world without carrying their music crates, nothing more than a laptop. He's made all that possible. And we talk about how he's built that incredible brand and where he's taken that more in a consumer direction. It's a really fun episode if you want to go back into the archives and check that one out after you finish up here with Jason Hardy, of course.
So let's talk about what's coming up this year. I know you got the Vision headset is the new one. What's this year looking like, and what are you most excited about?
It's going to be an exciting year. You know, we're going to be launching Music Vision. Our partners, meaning our investors, are going to then creating new type of content with all of these great platforms that are out there, like allowing people to feel closer together. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to launch this year. The exact date we haven't honed in on yet, but you know, we're producing them, and so I'm just excited to get out of the house, and I'm excited for people to come together. You know, I think, you know, there's no red and blue anymore, and I hope it turns purple when you put them together like it's supposed to. You mm-hmm. know, and I think that if we want, you know, a product like this that allows people to collaborate, like, to me, we'll give the SDK so that every app could benefit from that camera, so that now they can automatically tap into the device. I mean, why shouldn't you be able to order a coffee by looking at a sign, you know, or an Uber by looking at a sign? You know, these are the kind of things that are helping disabled, you know, by, so you know, cool. I had 4 eye surgeries in the last 2.5 years. I tore my retina, and running a business with a torn retina and 4 surgeries, that was a challenge. So now that this camera, it means something different to me now that, mm-hmm. you know, I'm having problems with my eyes mm-hmm. because now I realize like how, well, the whole pandemic has showed us all how short and precious life is.
Yeah.
And then, you know, having now a device that if I did, you know, lose my sight could help me, you know, is something that I think is pretty exciting. So we have a bunch of partnerships that we'll be announcing. You know, I probably have alluded a little bit to what they are,
sure.
you know, between different platforms and partners and manufacturing. I'm just excited to see the cool stuff that developers make with the device. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to see, you know, the way it's used with the content creators. I'm excited to see really what it's like to walk in someone else's shoes across the world. You know what I mean? Like, I think that, you know, Tony Robbins, one of my mentors, does a whole bunch of different amazing philanthropy. And I think that being able to like share that empathy and awareness of maybe the bad things that are going on around the world,
sure.
you know, might stop those, you know, whether it's, you know, things with children or things with animals or, you know, poverty and the way that different countries live. I think that a device like this isn't a headphone, you know what I mean? I think mm-hmm. it's more of a gateway to, you know, opening up a whole new series of experiences just, you know, like this,
yeah.
You know, I'm not suggesting by any means that you're not going to have your smartphone. I'm just saying that there's additional things that can be had by having connected eyes and ears. You know what I mean? Like, you know, looking at something and saying, what's that? You know, I think that, you know, or buy that, you know, or stream live or share this to mom. You know, I think are things that a lot of people would appreciate.
Yeah.
And so coming out of the pandemic, which I, you know, hope everything gets, you know, squared away soon. You know, I think a device like ours, it could be exciting. I can't say exactly, you know, what I'm most excited about, because I think that I haven't seen it yet. Meaning like, sure. it'll probably be how people partner with us to create that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. And, you know, it's not too hard to remember a time when, you know, a phone in your pocket was a fantasy, you know, or certainly nobody would have guessed the impact of, you know, a billion plus cameras roaming the earth at all times, right? On what that has on, you know, to your point on just opening us up. So far, it maybe hasn't manifested in empathy, although to some extent it has, for some people it has. But I think, you know, we're more aware of our surroundings and what's going on in the world around us than we ever have been. And so much of that is due to just the, you know, photography is literally everywhere. You know, I had to go buy a roll of 36 and, you know, choose my photos wisely. You know, I remember the first time I went to Europe and you're like, oh, is that worth, you know, one of my pictures, right? Because I only have so many.
Exactly. And the Polaroid, all of that.
Yeah, we don't have that anymore, crazy. Right? So I think, you know, it certainly makes sense that in 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years from now, you know, the world has changed, you know, again, as much in ways that we can't even imagine yet.
Completely agree. Yeah. I mean, to, you know, like, I mean, like what these phones have with the cameras is unbelievable.
Sure.
You know, and I just think that there's some times that you want to hold something, mm-hmm. and there's some times that you wouldn't. You know, like, I mean, we saw during the riots, you know, these, you know, holding the phones up, or, you know, whatever kind it is, isn't necessarily, you know, hasn't been the safest thing.
Right.
And, you know, I think that, you know, my mom never could go to my tennis matches. So my dad was always go. Mm. But if my father had these on, mm-hmm. and she could have just turned the TV on and watched as if she was there, it would have changed everything.
Crazy.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's like, sure. the little things like that I'm excited to see kind of how things like evolve into. Like you said, like we probably have no idea what's going to happen. You know, it's going to be exciting though.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm excited to see where it goes next. I got to do a quick lightning round before I let you go.
All right.
What's your favorite city to travel to?
Favorite city to travel to? I would say Paris.
Mine too. Who's your favorite DJ?
My favorite DJ. I have a lot of them. A lot of friends that are DJs. Pass.
All right.
DJ Chucky.
Okay. What's the last great book you read?
Last great book I read. Well, I haven't read a book in quite some time since my eye surgery. Mm. You know, it's like I'm still getting used to these glasses. You know, it's
sure.
It's crazy. So I would say last great book I read was definitely a book by Tony Robbins. I just don't I've read so many of his. I don't know exactly which one which one was last, but it was definitely one of Tony's books.
Yeah, I've read a lot of Tony's stuff. It's amazing and always seems to hit at the right time. Yeah.
That's right.
Sure. What movie do you think you've seen the most in your life?
Friday.
That's great.
No, I'm just the movie I've seen the most in my life. I mean, I've seen that movie a bunch though. But I would say I think I watched it again. Coming to America, I probably would say I've watched the most, you know, like the most. I like comedy. I like action. Yeah. You know, I like both. You know, I was gonna say I like Taken a lot. Mm. You know, that was a pretty intense movie. You know, the what was it called? The social. I watched that a couple months ago.
Social Network.
No, not the other one. The most recent one. And I can't remember. But anyways, it was interesting though.
Cool.
It was pretty interesting.
Yeah. Name someone you haven't met who has taught you the most.
I would say Elon Musk.
That's big.
But I did meet him. I did meet him. But it was a very brief meeting.
Okay.
Like, you know, conversation. But I would say
we'll let you have that one.
Yeah. But, you know, Yeah.
All right. And last one, if I worked for you.
Yep.
Oh, no, go for it.
I was just going to say, you know, like I've always been a fan of like risk takers. So obviously the Steve Jobs, mm-hmm. you know, I would say is definitely one of, you know, the greatest minds in the world, obviously. And so I would say it was really between Steve Jobs and Elon. Obviously Steve's not here. I never, you know, when I went to Apple for the first time, it was after he had passed. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of surreal, mm-hmm. you know, and people were still mourning and everything. And, but no, I never met him. So he would be somebody I would say was a mentor from afar and, you know, Elon.
Nice. So yeah, last one, if I worked for you, what's something I would hear you say over and over?
If you, what do I say over and over? That it has to be right. It has to be right. It has to do what it's supposed to do, and it has to do it easy and beautifully. Like everything is about the product. That's the thing. It's not about the celebs. It's not about the investors. It's not about the partners. It's really about the product. Mm. And it's about, because this product has to be amazing, has to be beautiful, you know, because, you know, we want everybody to, you know, wear it. And so, you know, a lot of hard work went into creating it. And so I think that that's the thing that you hear the most. Is constantly, and that's why, you know, maybe some people would say I'm micromanaging a little bit, you know, because it's, you know, every angle counts, you know, like, I don't even know if you've seen this, but like, you know, we came a long way.
That's from, so cool.
You know, a long way from this guy,
yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah. I had to build this to get to this, mm-hmm. right? And now, I mean, this device, you know, with the articulation, with the folding, the magnetic cushions, it's got mics inside, outside, you know.
It's cool. It's cool. Yeah. No, it's cool. And I love that you emphasize that, you know, you don't get there without the steps along the way and the products that, you know, might be great for their time, but are imperfect, right? And, you know, I think that's such an important piece that we miss, right? You talk about, you know, people are enamored of entrepreneurs, and I think, you know, it is that willingness to just make stuff and keep going and have it not be right all the time.
You have to have like tunnel vision, honestly, like on the vision, which is what I, you know, what me and my, you know, our team and our investors have had. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously there's always noise, there's always that, and it really is having that relentless drive to not give up, because honestly, you know, we've had, I mean, like every startup does, I mean, every startup probably almost dies before, you know, before they come, you know, resurrected from the ashes, you know, sure. And then to, you know, become, you know, a category, you know, industry change, you know, like, cause the evolution, like you said, like things change every period of time. You know, mm-hmm. I remember this, and I couldn't wait to get this one because I had the big phone. You
right,
know,
right, right.
And
yeah.
remember those?
Yeah, of course.
The big one.
Yep.
And then it got smaller and smaller, and then I remember, wow, this is amazing. Well, you know, it was amazing. You know what I mean? And then that came out. So you know, that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
And I guess we'll see what happens.
Dope, man. Well, I can't wait to see. We'll definitely be looking forward.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Jason,
for your time today.
Really appreciate all the stories and the wisdom. Thank you, man.
I don't know about that, but you know, definitely some stories. You know, I really appreciate you.
Right on.
Yeah, that was Jason Hardy on Rebel Radio. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I did. Let us know what you thought. Hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, wherever you like. We're at Rebel Radio Net. We have videos of a lot of our episodes on our YouTube channel, and most importantly, come back next week for more Rebel Radio. Peace.